Let's turn, please, to Luke chapter 17 this afternoon. Luke chapter 17. And this follows on well and truly from this morning's message. And here the Lord is encouraging the apostles. It's interesting to note in this section of Scripture that Luke calls this group of men the apostles. Not disciples now, but they're called apostles. Indicating the importance of the work that they are going to need to do. And I think by the time you get to chapter 17, you see these apostles getting more serious about and realizing more and more the great work that is going to be dedicated and handed over to them. And in the midst of all of this, they're asking the Lord for help and advice, and they ask about faith. And they ask for increased faith. Verse 5, the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant, ploughing, or feeding cattle, we will say unto him by and by, when he is come in from the field, go and sit down to meat, inferring that the master would feed them. But here's what happens in verse 8. And we'll not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. In other words, serve my evening meal. After I'm finished, then you may sit down and have yours. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Father, we pray now that you'd give your servant power from on high, Lord, by your Spirit. Instruct us, Lord, through your word. Make the word alive to us. Challenge us, Lord, with the responsibilities that we have and with our attitudes about your work, that we might continue to do the work, Lord, until you come again, or we go to meet you in the clouds. Do bless us now. In this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, here's an interesting scenario. This workman is called upon to go out into the fields and do a hard day's work out there. He may be called upon to plough. Spend the day ploughing. Remember, he's just got an animal or a couple of animals with a very primitive kind of plough hooked up behind them. He's ploughing all day. Or else he might be spending his time feeding out all day. Feeding out. It's very tiring work. How many of you have done farming work? Put your hand up. Come on. A few of you. Good. The rest of you, you need to get your education. Either go out on a farm or start doing a bit of reading and studying, because so much of the Bible here, to understand it, we must understand the farming of the agrarian nature of life, especially as we see it in the East. So it was that in the East it would be that the labourer, the servant, would labour all day. Then he would come in. And it was anathema in the culture to think that the boss is going to feed him. He's the servant, so it's his responsibility to feed the boss. So this is a responsibility. And you think, well, what's this got to do with the disciples or the apostles and their future work? Well, we'll find out as we go through this little parable. But certainly the apostles' work involves, as does the modern servant of Christ, believer, involves three things: ploughing, feeding, and food. These three things are involved in the Christian life. Do you engage in these three areas for the Lord? Or are you saying, what in the world is he talking about? I'm no farmer, I'm not even a farmer's wife. No, I know that, it's all right. Don't worry, listen up. But no, this is really a picture of the work of God. And as we move along, we'll see how it fits together. So the thing is, the disciples are asking the Lord to give them more faith. The Lord says, well, if you've got mustard seed faith, you're going to remove some trees, you're going to move obstacles. That obviously is required in the work of God. So in this chapter, he does instruct these apostles. Firstly, in the first part of the chapter, he instructs them about forgiveness. They need to learn what it means to practice forgiveness in the work of God and in the Christian life. If we do not practice forgiveness, we'll become shipwrecked. Second thing that the Lord reminds them about is that they need faith. Faith is a great of mustard seed. They don't need to conjure up a big faith. What they need to do is get in relationship with a great God. Mustard seed faith in a great God can cause obstacles to be removed. And that is so true. And then he reminds them about faithfulness. And he explains here that faith will grow. Faith will grow by a certain means. The request of the apostles for the Lord to increase their faith is answered in four ways. Your small faith works by the power of God. Your faith grows by obedience, doing what the Master says, as we see in the parable. Faith grows by service, by service. Your faith also results in faithfulness, even in small things. It's not much faith. Wiersbe points out, it's not much faith if it's not faith for the small things. The small things. Faith to do the small jobs. Faith to be faithful over the years, even in small things. The only way of attaining or obtaining increased faith is for the working servant to manifest an unmoved, persevering obedience grounded upon humanity. That was the humility. That was this morning's sermon, amen? The servant doing his duty is not due any special remuneration from the Lord. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty. So this is how we should look at ourselves. Unprofitable servants. And the thought of the unprofitable means that we are not due further remuneration. It's not our right. We are not entitled to further blessings just simply because we've obeyed the Master. Do you obey the Master? How much do you do in the Master's work? What did you do today here in the Master's work? Well, I did a good bit of eating. I had to fire up for the sermon, but there's a lot more work that's got to be done afterwards. Hint, hint, hint. So the question is, faith grows in service, in the work of God. That's how faith grows. You're longing for an increase and for sweet peace and for your faith to grow. This is how it grows. Serve. Take the broom. Take the towel. Take the mixer. Do a bit of mixing. Thank you for the lovely food today. But faith grows as we're involved in the work of God and as we see what God can do with our talents, as we put them to work. That's how faith grows. Faith does not grow, brothers and sisters, by the spectacular. A lot of people want a spectacular. They want a healing. There's a banner up every Sunday now by our house over there for the other community centre that's like this one. And it's miracle healing every Sunday.
tell us another one. You know, the world says, pull the other leg, you know, plays Yankee Doodle Dandy or something, who knows? But the spectacular, there are a lot of people who want the spectacular. They think that this is what the faith is all about, unusual and spectacular things and people hanging from chandeliers and all that sort of stuff out there that's on the edge. And let me tell you, that's not really where you find real faith. You find real faith in a servant of the Lord that may have served in the middle of Afghanistan or Yemen for 40 years and hardly seen a convert. There's faith! Somebody that got involved in the work of God, followed the leading of the Lord to the place of God's appointment, and as obedient servants stayed there and served the Lord and did the work of God. That's faithfulness. That's exciting to me. I like to hear those sort of stories, amen? I like to read missionary books about what they've done, but I'll tell you what, I like to hear about what's going on now. Amen? I like to hear about what's going on now in the servants of God that faithfully plant themselves in the work of God wherever God might lead, whether he puts them here or there, and faithfully serves the Lord. And we thank the Lord for the work here and Pastor Charlie and his labours. And thank the Lord for his blessings and for each one of you. That's my word of thanks today for God's working and giving me the opportunity now and again to sprout forth with a sermon. I'm telling you what, that's good. That's what keeps an old preacher going, amen? A few amens too doesn't hurt. All right? But so this is an interesting situation, a setting of them asking for more faith and the Lord giving them this, what I think is a little bit of an unusual lesson. A little bit of an unusual lesson. He's saying, look, you know, the work that you're going to do involves three S areas, three aspects. There are three aspects to the work that you're going to do. You're going to be doing some ploughing. You're going to do feeding. And then you are going to be doing food, hospitality, fellowship and food. Those three areas are key areas in the ministry and key areas in the Christian life. What do you do in those areas? What are you doing? What work are you doing to seek to plough? That's the hard labour of getting the gospel out, the feeding of giving the word of God and discipling and following up folks, and then feeding comes to the ministry of hospitality. What do you do, let me say? Do you take the towel and wipe dishes? Or do you just get behind the project and do whatever you can to do that? As a young believer, I determined that whatever my preacher said that he wanted me to do or that he needed help with, I would do it. So many times I'd be the last one hanging around and I'd be helping Pastor do whatever he told me to do. And I'd go on my way rejoicing at the end of it all. Amen? Which you do. That's the blessing of serving the Lord. We are servants. But which of you, having a servant ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come in from the field, go sit down to meat? This was not customary for the master to sit the servants down and feed them. But you know, so many believers today think that that is their role, to be fed. And they think it's the role of ministry to feed them. And when they're finished, pack up the plate, walk out the door, see you later. Very quiet out there. What's the Lord saying? He's saying these jobs need to be done. Ploughing, feeding, and food. These are the areas you need to be involved with. Now look, I don't know about you, but when you've done a day's hard work out there, I've never been out ploughing. I've never been out feeding the sheep, not all day. Done a bit of sheep feeding, but in the holidays. Done a few of these things, but it's very tiring out there. and then to go inside and do the meal. Very tiring. I'm sure that if you ask alone, you told the young apprentice this was his work. Righto, we're working on this job all day, and then at the end of the job, we're going home and you're preparing the dinner. Not popular, is it? One man said, well, I sacked my apprentice because he wanted to be the CEO. And it was only day three. Day three, sacked the apprentice, he wanted to be the CEO. He wanted to call the shots. He wanted to say what was going to be done. But as far as doing it himself and getting involved, it was not that desire to get involved. So here we find then the servant is described. And this servant, the word servant, means a bondslave. Custom indicates that the master never served the servant. The servant was there to serve the master. That's how our relationship with God and with the Father should be. He's the master, we're the servant. The Apostle Paul viewed himself as a bondslave. That meant that one had been purchased out of the slave yard into a job. And this typifies what it should be like for us as Christians. We are servants of the Lord. Bondslave is a servant. We are not our own. We belong to him who has bought us with the price of his own blood. Because we are the possession of God's purchase, we have no title no title to our possession. All we have and are belong to the Master, and we are at his disposal. His servants serve him day and night. All our time is his, and there are no days off or holidays in his servants. He said, come aside and rest a while. He took his disciples away for a refreshing time. But even on holidays, there are souls to win. There are people around about you that need the Lord. I heard of an elderly preacher. He was a bit older than me. He was widowed. And he married a dear widower, pastor's wife, widower, that he'd known for many years. He married her. They had the wedding and they went on the honeymoon together. And the people said to him, well, showed him his room and that, and, you know, how are you doing? He said, I'm in heaven. It couldn't be any better. I said, what do you mean? Well, I've married a beautiful wife. I've got the Lord's blessings and I know that I'm saved and going to heaven. Couldn't be any better. I'm going to heaven. What about you? And so he was able to lead some people to the Lord with that kind of a testimony. Even on holiday, there are opportunities, and our service for Christ does not end because we're having a little time out from our normal round. As Christians, we must respond to his demands as long as life lasts. We are his by right of creation and redemption. We're doubly his. And by surrender of our lives to him, his servants serve him day and night. Because of his mercy, we should serve the one who has loved us so much. The love of Christ constrains us to live for him and to serve him always. We should always be seeing souls saved for the Master. It's our job, isn't it? To have a part in that and to have a part in the work of the Lord. Our job is to plough and feed. Ploughing and feeding are parabolic images of spiritual labour to which the Lord has called his own. He saith to him, Simon Peter, he saith to him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. 1 Peter 5:2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Ploughing comes before feeding. We break up the fallow ground, the hardened hearts of men we are to plough upon. They present a hard exterior. Ploughing involves investment of time. It is hard work. Talking to folk, giving tracts, answering naughty questions, battling and breaking the soil
are all part of preparing the ground ready for sowing the seed of the Word of God. Then comes dealing with the weeds and eventually the harvest of ripe fruit. It is hard work. It is the work of the Lord. But it can be done by the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to be involved in these things as the Lord's people, feeding. This is the follow-up and then discipling and teaching the Word of God. Feeding involves pastoral work, feed the flock of God. And that doesn't just involve the pastor. Each one of us can have a part in ministering and helping and encouraging the saints and reaching out to the lost. Where there is a famine of the Word of God, there is a lot more hand feeding required. Now, do you get the hand feeding? There's no fodder growing in the field. It's just dry and dusty. And so therefore, the farmer has to come out there. He may unload the bales of hay off the back of a truck or something, some little small vehicle. My mother-in-law, she had a little Datsun ute, one of those Datsun ute. You know, I could hardly even fit in behind the wheel of that little Datsun ute. She would put a stick on the accelerator, jump out, put a stick on the accelerator and keep the little blue, I used to call it a blue wheelbarrow. She used to keep it going, you know. And then she'd get around the back and pull out the hay bales and feed out. So what's a woman doing that? Well, she didn't have a husband. He was with the Lord. So somebody had to look after the stock. And for 7 years, almost single-handedly, she ran the farm. But she was out there doing that. And feeding. But sometimes you've got to break that open and take a handful of it and put it right in the face of an animal. The animal's not gotten with it yet. See, this is how they're going to be feeding. So here's the food, pushing it right at them. They'll start munching away on it. And that's how little lambs go. And sometimes you've got to take the bottle, don't you? Put it in the mouth of the little lamb and feed it. It's been dislocated from the mother and you want to rear it up and for it to put on weight and become useful. There's hand feeding. But you know, this is how it is where there is a famine of the Word of God. There's a lot of hand feeding required. Note the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Yes, work, work, work. Toilsome labour, for the night cometh when no man can work. So little time, the harvest will be over. Ploughing and feeding. Ploughing, feeding, and everything included therein are the things that are the servant's duty. Do not expect any special rewards. They're just the duty. That's what we've been told to do. So we obediently do it. That's our duty. 2 Corinthians 5:13 to 16. For whether we beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Here's the ministry described here for the believer. We are constrained by the love of Christ. It's the main driving force, mainspring of all of our actions to reach out to others. It's the love of Christ. And that love of Christ is expressed in service and work in the work of God. Serving the Master involves going the second mile. Do you know what that is? Going the second mile? If you're asked to go 1 mile, you go 2. Oh, I don't know about that. I reckon if I went 1 mile, I've done a pretty good job. After all, had a big day's work. Don't know about that. What about the midnight ministry in the jail? Oh, I don't think I'd put my name down for that. Well, you'll get some easy contacts there. You'll be chained to them, perhaps. The old stump jump plough was pulled by an animal, but guided by man's hands on the plough. It required looking ahead, not turning back, or taking hands off the plough. Having ploughed the field or fed the cattle is no warrant for immediate refreshment and compensation. Don't know whether it's getting through. But having done a certain amount of work, there is always more that could be done. There are always more folk that could be involved. What have you done today? Good question. So, what about tomorrow? What about the rest of the week? What about the rest of the year? What are you doing for the Lord? Well, as the pastor was saying, well, I come to church. I mean, I'm in church. I've really done a lot. I've come to church. That's just the beginning. You've come to get your batteries recharged, amen? So that you can get moving again. You can keep moving and stay on the job. This is what the Lord wants. And the excitement of being involved in the work of God is not found anywhere else. So the servant then, he's to plough the field and he's to do the meal. Plough the food, do the meal. Plough the food, do the meal. Year after year after year, he may be required to do that. That's faithfulness. This section of the Word of God, this little teaching of our Lord for his apostles is all about faithfulness. It's all about serving the Lord. It's all about doing what he asks us to do. Doing the work of God, serving the Master. All of our powers must be employed in his service. And we will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken and afterwards. That's to drink, not getting drunk. And afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. The master properly regarded all the servant had accomplished as a matter of obligation. Now he demanded from him further obedience and additional service. The master's need had to be met first, and then in due course the slave could eat, the servant could eat. Is that your priority? Jesus first. Serving the Lord with a full heart, with all of your heart. Doing what he says. Then thinking about other things perhaps. The application. Remember that the parable is an earthly event with a heavenly spiritual meaning. So not every detail can be drawn on as a picture of the heavenly master. But what we can say is this, no matter how hard, listen to this one, no matter how hard or inappropriate God's will may seem, there is grace to obey and serve the master. Did you get it? No matter how hard or inappropriate. Say, well, I don't know about that. I don't think that's right. I don't have a conviction about that. Hold on a minute. What is the master saying? It's not up to you. You don't write the rule book. You don't write the dictionary. Time to listen. Time to obey. Time to even make some changes. Well, I've always done that. Hold on.
Who's in charge? You're the Lord. You're a servant. Servant obeys the master. Does the master's bidding. Listens to what the master says. Oh, Pastor, I don't have a conviction about smoking. I said, really, sister? You don't have any conviction about that? Oh, no. It's okay. I've been smoking for years and I've got no convictions about it. Okay. Righto. We'll see. So time went by and she fell by the wayside. She started falling by the wayside. It was either the Lord or the smoking. There was a crossroad. Changes had to be made. Oh, no, I'm happy smoking. Well, they had her funeral, didn't they? She died about 35 years younger than she should have. Cancer, lung cancer. Lungs was full of it. Her father had died the same way. He was saved at an older age. And even he was sensible enough after he got saved to give it up. I don't have a conviction. Okay. Wait a minute. What does the master say? Even if it seems inappropriate. Say, well, I've worked hard today. I've preached. I've done this and that and the other. I don't have time to feed people and all that. Think about it. This is a most thought-provoking little parable, friends. Leadership has many pressures. There are things that must be done, even late into the night, in order to accomplish God's will. The master's will must be first satisfied. Do his will first. This is done without the neglect of normal duties, but as additional duty after the family is settled for the night. How many hours does a pastor put in a week? Any suggestions from the floor? Give it to me. Pastor's smiling over there. Come on, what do you think? 40?
Maybe a lot.
Yeah, we'll settle with a lot. Because sometimes it's a lot more than... And God gives grace to do that. And people say, well, I've asked people to do things for me. And I've said, well... And they say, well, Pastor, how much does it pay? I said, you're going to get the same pay rate as I get. I really wanted to say nothing, but I said, well, I get $10 an hour. What are you going to get? What do you think you should get? How much does the pastor get an hour? It's all the hours he puts in. But you see, his philosophy and mentality is the same as this guy here. Yes. Not for profit! Mm-hmm. Get it? Mm-hmm. Not for profit, unprofitable, or considered that one is taken care of. Okay, and there are no further needs taken care of, not monetary thinking. This is how it is. This is how it goes. This is how his servants serve him day and night and how they keep going for 50-odd years. Oh, but I think, yes, you do. I know you think. But guess what? You think too much. And you're thinking wrong. Poor me. Is that what Christianity's going to be like? I'll be a slave of God till I'm old. What else are you going to slave for, honey? You know? You're going to slave for something? Come on. Let's face it. Oh, you know, I think I should be able to follow the footy and join the footy club. Oh, yeah. Chase the little ball around the rest of your days. Come on. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. And the joy of serving the Lord with the right attitude is heavenly. It really is. So no matter how hard or inappropriate it may seem, the will of God in your life, you are better to do the will of God and to put your ideas aside. And to move forward in the will of God. So leadership has many pressures. You've got to be out there leading and doing the work of God and adding on. The Father does not put unreasonable requests upon us. But he does seek to stretch us at times. You may say, well, my plate is full. Praise the Lord for that rain.
been praying for that for weeks. Hey, you say, well, my plate is full. Then ask God to give you a bigger plate. Come on. Let's face it, your plate's been pretty small. You've just been making enough for yourself. I've seen that. We had a fellow in Bible college, a good illustration of this. When he did a meal, he made enough for himself. Counted out every little piece. All right, he had a budget. Okay, I'll have mercy. I'll have mercy on him. He had a plan in mind. He wanted it to taste a certain way. So if you wanted to taste a certain way, you have a certain amount of ingredients. Okay? Another fella comes in and he says, Pastor, we're having chicken tonight. Praise God, we're having chicken. He said, are we? Yeah, we're having chicken. He said, I've got the chicken. So I was standing there watching him. He said, I'm going to start cooking now. He left himself about 3 hours to do his cooking. He went to the pantry and he picked out the biggest pan that you could see in there, and he literally filled that up entirely with chicken. And he said, I'm going to feed everybody that's here tonight, Pastor. This is in the Bible college. Anybody and everybody that's here, we're all going to have a wonderful chicken feast together. It was had a good Middle Eastern flavour about it, which some of you would have loved. And we sat down, but that was the ministry. That was his idea of ministry. Is it any wonder why that young man is now being given of the Lord a worldwide ministry to Farsi-speaking people, preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, repentance and faith? He's going to come through a bit later in the year or early next year and show us his new bride. That'll be something worth seeing. Amen. Amen. But you see, his life is not all wrapped up in his own little plate. And it was a joy for me to sit with him and talk about what God could do with him worldwide to plant independent Baptist churches among the Farsi-speaking people who come out of Iran. And this is what God is doing. I gave him a church in the US, which is financial and has contact and has equipment and all the rest of the way within into the satellites to satellite the gospel into Iran. This is what God is doing. You see, the mentality is, well, God doesn't owe me anything. I owe him everything that I am and are. And therefore, there's an obligation, and more than that, an opportunity. There's an opportunity. Go for it. Go for it. The opportunities today are mind-boggling. And using the media for Christ and all of that equipment that God's blessed and to get it out there, it's mind-boggling. But that means the opportunities are great and worldwide, and it needs your involvement. You don't need to sit back and say, well, I've had a hard day. Don't you know I've worked hard today? Yeah, but, well, at the end of a hard day, it's nice to relax and do something that you really love doing. Amen? It really is. So it indicates a little bit also Jesus' service for us. Going to the cross was hard work. Blood, sweat and tears. He gave everything, held nothing back. We're not going to get into that one, but Christ is seen in this wonderful picture of the servant. Serve the Father, totally giving his all, and the rewards come later. So it reveals Christ toiling on earth. In heaven, faithful servants will be sharers in his joy. Revelation 3:20, what a feast he will spread. Now then, he comes to this earth scene, works his ministry here on earth, 33 years, sends up into the glory. He's preparing a place for you and I. A mansion, being prepared, and a feast like you've never seen before. In the glory, the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a blessing. Amen?
Right. Okay. So the parable reveals this in the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus. That we have a mission. We have a job to do. We have a work to do. Presently, we are under obligation to our Lord, and without rest or reward, we must hold ourselves absolutely at the Master's disposal. When we reach heaven, the Master will care for us in gratitude and affection. Now, the Lord's injunction, come aside and rest a while, and believe that. Believe that God's servant need a bit of time out to be refreshed and to do different things for the Lord in that time. And a good servant of the Lord will still serve even in that time out. But to be refreshed and to be in the Word and in some fellowship and be receiving, it's important. So we are under obligation to our Lord. Rest and reward come later. You know, it bothers me when people say, oh, well, I won't be there, Pastor. I'll be tired then. Hello? Is that a plan or what? Huh? Oh, you're a tough old bird. Yeah, you better believe it. You better believe it. Is that a plan or what? No. Get there whether you're tired or not, and I'll tell you what might happen to you, an amazing thing that happens Wednesday night after Wednesday night. You go in as tired as can be, and you go out praising the Lord. Does that happen to you? Happens to me all the time. Had I stayed home, I still would have been feeling. But the fellowship of the saints, amen, get us going and keep us on the road for the Lord and for His glory. People say, why in the world would you drive all the way across that emu plain for just to deliver one message? Oh, glory. And then over the other part of Victoria there, two messages over there. Glory! Well, those hours of driving, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's pure joy and gladness to serve the Lord and to be in His work. I'd go to Timbuktu if that's what He asked me to do. What about you? Oh, you'd just go on a nice holiday. Yeah, I know. I'd go to Timbuktu to serve the Lord if that's what He wanted me to do. So we are under obligation to serve our Lord out of love and obedience. Serving is out of the heart of love. Faithfulness to the Master, not for profit, but for eternal joys. And this is really what I believe is the understanding to do with this particular parable. We are unprofitable servants. In other words, we don't, at the end of our busy tasks, we don't think, well, what do I get for that? That's not our thought. Our thought is we are not owed anything. We're millionaires. We've got the riches of Christ on our side. He doesn't owe us anything. And even if you end your life living on a paltry pension, or whatever you're living by faith, with hardly any incomes, no super dupers and all that sort of stuff, nothing. All expended for the Lord's glory and His work. And nothing, I have nothing but joy. And one day, before long, I'll leave this planet. So why would I live as though I'm staying? Why would I live as though I'm staying and have no time for God, no time for His work, no time to seek souls, no time to feed the saints, no time to plough the ground? It's all about attitude, really, folks. It's all about attitude. A faithful servant should not expect any special reward, since he did only what he was told to do. The word translated unprofitable means without need. That is, nobody owes us anything. The servant was indeed profitable to the master. He did a whole day's work there. After all, he cared for his master's fields, flocks, and food. The statement just simply says, my master does not owe me anything extra. These disciples, these apostles were going to go and preach their life out for the Lord. They were going to preach their life out and take the gospel to the far-flung corners of the earth. I believe the gospel's been full circle at least once, and that required a bit of thought, but I believe that these apostles took the gospel into the world and took it around the world. And the outcome and results of the long term is huge. They served. They gave themselves. They received basic remuneration just for food and shelter. And they were abandoned to the Lord. Thank God for that. It's all about attitude. What's your attitude like to serving God and doing the work of God? What then is the proper attitude for Christian service? Doing the will of God from the heart. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. To the person who is born again, his commandments are not grievous unto us. 1 John 5:3. Serving him is the delight, not just a duty. We obey him because we love him. I delight to do thy will. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Oh, it's a matter of the heart. We need to stand at the end of the project, if you like. Say, well, we did our part. We're not owed anything. We'll receive our heavenly reward. Remember the parable of the 10 lepers follows on. Thankfulness. 10 healed, 1 gives thanks. There is a need of thankfulness in the heart of every believer. What's your attitude towards the Lord and the service of God? Can you say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done the will of God. And our rewards are in glory. Unprofitable servants. Well, this deals with the attitude of entitlement. They owe me. Don't they know I've done all these hours? What are they going to give me? They owe me. Lord, don't you know we've served and we've sacrificed? No, he owes you nothing. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. So, the servant grows in faith as he serves and as he discovers the joy that comes with being an unprofitable servant. Amen. Let's pray.